Hello, everybody listening out here on the Russell Pros channel. I just wanted to offer this. This was a little chat that I had with Brandon Taylor, otherwise known as the Hobo, host of the Russell Pros as well. And I was sort of testing something on my Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/MarkBudonica. And I wanted to share it just because this was a nice reminder of the old times, and we talk about a lot of stuff, but I still wanted to make this available for everybody. So if you're interested in more stuff like this, please follow me on my new Twitch channel, twitch.tv/MarkBudonica, and I hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of the support, even after so long. Cheers. I am joined on the line by the one and only Mr. Robert Baines, a.k.a. Brandon Taylor. Hi, Brandon. You beautiful, beautiful bastard. You're on. That was the intro.
Oh, am I?
Yes.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Sounds like you're kind of in the bottom of a tin can.
Oh, okay. I think I know what that means. Then... let me try.
Yep, there it is.
There it is. Yeah.
There
cool,
it is.
Cool, cool. One, this is a test, but two, I also just like talking to you, and we're kind of cheating in that.
Yeah.
I've got you on my phone, but you can't see me, but everybody can see you.
Small sacrifices. I'll just stare at myself.
I mean, when do you ever not? To be perfectly honest.
Well, there's only one way to get good at making weird facial expressions, and that's just by staring at yourself and going,
So I want to talk about how everything has been impacting you at least a little bit. Man, you're a real creative guy, and
yeah.
The ability to have people to feed off of when it comes to being a professional wrestler, you posted something on Facebook that if you want to reference, you can, but how has this sort of lockdown affected you, as a pro?
The problem is more than anything that there is a complete cutoff of any avenue of expression of professional wrestling, because professional wrestling, unlike any other art form, takes place in a very specific space. It takes place in the professional wrestling ring. And there's really no other place that can exist. So now that this quarantine has happened, there's really little to no access to a professional wrestling ring, because there aren't any places like that, or not too many places like that around where I live here in the Los Angeles area. So there's just not a lot of outlet. Now, I will say that there is a project that I'm working on, though I cannot publicly divulge any details of it for reasons.
Sure, no, do it.
But I think WWE and AEW have shown that professional wrestling is possible without an audience. And I personally don't mind the art form taking place without an audience. I think it's actually probably beneficial to performers to learn how to work with less audience participation than more, because it channels different parts of what you're supposed to be doing. As a professional wrestler, you have to... it has to be a contest. It always has to look like there is a physical contest taking place. And you look at other sports, other combat sports, and the combatants are always focused 100% on the person across from them. And in wrestling, you're meant to feed out to an audience. You're supposed to interact with an audience. And I think, honestly, that takes away from the sport aspect of professional wrestling. So with the audience being gone, now you have it more controlled, and you have the participants looking at each other, and it brings out a level of aggression because you're so focused on your opponent. And I think that's one thing that you're seeing, that the really good professional wrestlers know how to just focus on their opponent and know how to hone their skills to make it look like it's a contest rather than the entertainment spectacle. But the entertainment part of it is very important, but it's not the only thing. It's supposed to look like a fight. So now I think this very much mirrors a fight without the audience, because you have to be focused on your opponent that much more.
I agree. And recently, this past week, I saw a clip. Drew Gulak was talking to Corey Graves on After the Bell, and he talked about how different having no crowd is, but also how, at least for him, it ended up being very beneficial to his style. And when it was him and Cesaro in there, oh, first of all, that was one of my favorite matches of the whole two-night thing of Mania. Like, holy cow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When they announced sort of, hey, by the way, here are our pre-show matches, and we don't necessarily, like, there's not necessarily a story of Natty and Liv, but here's something, like, these two warring factions are going to put another match on in Drew Gulak versus Cesaro. And that match was a standout and one of my favorites from the whole show, because they knew what to do in that situation, you know?
Yeah.
And go ahead. Sorry.
And I know Drew really well. I was fortunate enough to train with Drew before he got signed to a WWE contract. And in the time that I spent with him, wrestling with him, training with him, his style, just by watching him, you're never going to understand his level of versatility and what he is entirely capable of doing. What you're seeing is simply a tenth of the man's potential. He is somebody who could be doing 1,000 different things, and this is what you're seeing from him today, but it is not even close to what he's capable of. So let me just say that. And then on top of that, you have Drew Gulak as he exists now, as probably one of the best versions of a combat professional wrestler that you can see, because he is so focused, and he and his brother both helped to develop a style that was very sporty, because their amateur backgrounds are very, very proficient. So they know how to turn it up 100% when it comes to the combat aspect. But it doesn't lose anything without the audience.
Yeah.
Nothing necessarily changes. It may change the pace, but it doesn't change the content. The content is 100% what it would be with an audience, without an audience. That doesn't change at all. His presentation, it had changed recently, because he was doing the PowerPoints in recent years, and he stopped doing that, and he had sort of changed gears to become a very athletic version of what he is now. And I think really that has helped to sort of push him to the forefront and say, okay, this is the model. This is what this is supposed to look like in this space here and now. So I think that the rest of the roster can sort of turn and look at them as Cesaro and Gulak as an example of, this is what this is supposed to look like in this space. And that is the best it can probably possibly look, is those two right there, because they hit so very hard and they're so focused 100% on what they do. It looks like combat, and I think that's what it should be.
And it feels like it too. Like that's one of the times where you can honestly kind of forget that there's no audience, which seems like a weird thing to say, but the night after WrestleMania, it was.
No, that's how it used to be. That's how it used to be. If you watch Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, stuff like that, they never catered to the audience. They would turn to them, but it was never this kind of. There's too much showboating now with the audience, and not to take anything away from WWE, they do what they do. But before now, so much of how they shot their television was, oh, look at the audience, look at the audience, look at the audience. And it was not enough about what was happening in the ring. There wasn't enough of a person versus person aspect. It was, oh, this is entertaining the masses. Look at how entertained everybody is. Instead of how, look at how these guys are going at each other. Look at the athleticism. Look at what these guys are putting themselves through just to show each other up, you know? And that I think is the thing that needs to be focused on now that the audience has changed or the lack of audience isn't there. You have a back to basics look at things. This is, it's only in recent years has it become how entertaining. It used to be how athletic are these guys, and now we get to get back to that.
And something that I especially wanted to talk to you about is the cinematic style match. And because you know what I mean by this, I would like to keep it in talking about your experience that you have when it comes to the cinematic match, because about a year ago you came to me essentially you saved my ass for the month because I got to work at a time when I wasn't working very much, but I had the benefit of assisting you in creating a Baines compound match for the one Mr. Robert Baines. And looking back at it, there's a lot of fondness in looking back at it and seeing what we ended up making lemonade with, and which is a phrase I've been using a lot lately. But it definitely goes to show in terms of like sticking to the work, believing in what you're doing, and you'll get something good out of it. And one of the things that I'm the most happy with is I got a lot of, it's a shame now that you've switched masks, but if you still had that old mask that you were using, you would have a whole bunch of really good looking footage of you just being creepy in the desert.
Yeah. I see that match and that moment in time as being the farthest that version of that character can go. So that's why I decided to change the mask and change up essentially kind of all of what I had at that time.
Nope. Hold on, Hobo. We lost you. 1 second.
Huge. Okay.
All right. Come on back. It was just a quick little blip, but come on back.
Okay. Yeah, there was just no other place I could go with that version of that character, because I mean, what do you do after you come back from a match that is an a really impossible task? No one's ever done anything like that before. It's never been a film and live event. That crossover still hasn't happened. It was a really ambitious idea. And when you say
I will.
Is there something else I'm missing?
Are you missing the House of Horrors match between Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, where they drove from the house to the arena?
Oh, kind of, yeah.
Kind
yeah,
of.
Right. That's close. That's really close. But I'm sure I don't know if their time period was as
direct,
difficult as ours, because they definitely had the budget.
Oh, of course they did. You saw
but
how that match looks.
when you say make lemonade out of lemons, I think that really does set the table for how difficult was all of that to do. It was extremely difficult.
Yes, it was. It was
difficult. In the desert. We filmed it outside of 29 Palms, like a half hour, an additional half an hour outside of 29 Palms, California, which is the middle of nowhere.
Put that up on a map. Google it right now, everybody watching. Google that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not hard to find because there's a military base there. So it's 29 Palms, that's easy. But then like a half hour outside of that. And then it was... What month was it? It was like January or February. It was friggin' cold, and the wind would not let up.
Yeah, it was late February, early March. It was rough.
Yeah, yeah. It was. The weather was relentless. I was in next to nothing. we were at this, we had no base camp. Like for any sort of film, you have a base camp, you have Video Village. We didn't have that.
Nope.
We didn't have any of that shit.
And I respect the gentleman that was running the shoot. But
Yeah.
coming in, I had a lot le just in general, I had a little bit less of an idea of what was going on, like what the you had told me what you were trying to accomplish, but then we also had
Yeah.
what the company wanted and what your opponent could pull off. And so there was a little bit of an understanding between all of those parties and trying to, as is with any sort of creative idea, of
Right.
following,
Yeah.
matching up and seeing what everybody can do, what everybody wants to do, and then how much time we have. Because we were trying to set this at night. We were on a salt flat. The winds were like 70 miles per hour, and we had a couple lights. And what the
Yeah.
one of the decisions that I will still never kind of get over is why we decided to light the fire before we were even around the fire pit to begin with. That was fun. I'm gonna is the Baines compound match on Soapbox Car?
Oh
Okay.
yeah. No, the full thing, which is the movie part, and I also coupled it with the live ending that happened in front of the audience. So that's the it's the whole thing.
The
It's
whole thing.
close to a half an hour. Yeah. And what we did ended up doing live was longer than what we filmed, which wasn't the intention, but it was the crowd was so into it, it was just like, well, let's keep going.
Well,
And
do I mean
we have to sell.
you were there for when I kept cutting it and cutting it and cutting it, and I had it at a certain length where it was, here's the first draft, it is this long, but this is telling the whole story,
Yeah.
and then I will have to start cutting down. And then I started cutting down, cutting down, cutting down, cutting down.
Yeah.
So it could have been a li it could have been it definitely could have been longer than it was, but I will that experience was, or let me see, hold on. It All right, 8:54. It was about 9 minutes. I think I had it at like 12. I think 12 or
Yeah, that
12:30 or
sounds right.
something like that. Okay, so the whole video is
Yeah.
20 minutes. Don't, nope. The for right now, for everybody being able to hear you, I've got the desktop audio on, and so I played like the first bit of the like road noise. But
Yeah.
this match is, I beyond appreciate the opportunity, because as a professional at that time, it was
It's
it that's why I say in retrospect, there's a lot that I look on with fondness, because I was able to draw upon that and those conditions and all of that, and really, lack of a better term, make lemonade. And in any sort of creative outlet, well, I've been in tough conditions before. This isn't that bad. Also, sort of a mindset, which I think a lot of people need to hit that low of, not low, but that peak or valley of, I need to hit this place and still come out with something that I'm proud of, no matter what you work at, like no matter what field you're in. If you can come out of it
Yeah.
with that kind of a positivity, up. Oh, you're still here. Yeah, like I hear you, but the connection isn't quite there. I think we can hear you. Can we hear you?
Uh-oh. Oops. Am I still there?
We're still here.
There we go.
Yeah.
So we
What's up,
ran
buddy
some
boy?
connection issues.
Yeah, it's all right. It
Okay.
happens.
It's just one of those things of as a creative person, you have to have the challenges or you're never going to be able to create. Because if you have to create in a perfect setting every time, you're never going to be able to create anything. It's the challenge that may that actually makes you a better creative vessel. Because nothing's ever going to be perfect, So if you're able to get a really good result out of something that's really crappy overall, like the situation is just bad, whatever it is. I mean, granted, our situation wasn't that bad, but things can definitely get worse. And when they're as bad as they can possibly be, if you're able to get a good result out of that, then you can create anything anywhere. And I think that's what a lot of people have to figure out, is it's not the perfect situation that yields the best result. It's when you're in the worst situation and you get the best result, that's actually the best thing you can have creatively. Like, my favorite matches personally are matches that should not have been good, on paper should have been absolutely terrible, and yet somehow had an actually really halfway decent thing come out of it. That's my favorite stuff. Because you can have a good match with a good wrestler, or you can paint a good picture when you have the right materials. But if you don't, and you're still able to get something great out of it, that is making spinning straw into gold, really.
Definitely. And just in general right now, art through adversity is a hell of a thing. And it's a lot of what's coming in. And right now we all kind of have, as a globe, we have the same sort of influx of, we're all sort of inspired by the same thing that's happening in the world right now. But other than the,
Because we're all subject to it.
exactly. And but that also makes it the most relatable too. But in this sort of climate that we're in right now, I was interested in finding out what are you doing to, hello? Nope, that was me. Hold on, I'll fix it. But
Yeah.
What are you doing as a way to keep yourself busy? Because you just launched a Patreon, and so what sort of
Yeah, I launched a.
what is it all is all of your time going to that? Are you watching anything? Are you listening to anything new? Are you flexing that PlayStation Classic system? What do you got?
I did just hook up the PlayStation Classic. I was playing some Final Fantasy VII 2 nights ago. I'm not a big gamer, just because it costs a lot of money, and my lifestyle, I have to be very frugal, because I wrestle full time. I don't have a day job, so everything I do, I have to really be careful with how I spend my money. So PlayStation Classic is a great value because you have all these games in a great console, and I'm not being paid to say that.
Well, especially Final Fantasy VII,
But
that's
I'm really
like,
just
how many hours is that game right now, like already, and everybody's still talking about it, so you can get
I'm
even you
stuck,
could
so it
still kind
feels
of
really
bin
long.
you could but you could at least be like, oh, everybody's talking about Final Fantasy VII. All right, I can kind of be in this space as well.
Right, that's why I broke it out again. It's because I'm like, well, everybody else is playing, I'll play too. The graphics aren't as good as their newfangled technology, but it's still the same gameplay, I think. I don't think they changed any of that mechanics,
They
as far
did
as
a
I'm
lot.
aware. But yeah, I just did they really? Oh,
Yeah,
I like the classic
it's not turn-based anymore.
combat style at all.
They've figured out a way to make it, it's like live turn-based. It's weird. It's a style that they've been testing out just in like in some of their other games. But I've heard it's really it's sort of that thing of,
Yeah.
we want to make this game feel how you remember it, to try to get that feeling out.
Oh. Okay. All right. That's interesting. Since they just sold the old one, and you can really see what that was like, but that's fine. I get what they're trying to do. That's okay. But as far as like my creative sort of digestion is concerned, I'm just watching a lot of good television, like a lot of very good scripted stuff. I don't like reality TV because it's bad scripted. It's poorly written and poorly executed, and I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan. That being said, my wife covers Total Bellas for AfterBuzz TV now, and she enjoys that. And so I've been watching a little bit of that too. It's you can watch a show like Mr. In Between, and that's your dinner, and then watch Total Bellas, and that's dessert.
I mean, fair enough.
But I always have I have a dark, I like dark television. I can't really watch a lot of stuff with my wife, because she goes, "Is there anything that you watch that's happy? Do you have any happy stuff on your Netflix or your Hulu?" No. That's pretty much the profile of a clinically depressed person.
Jesus.
But I'm not as depressed as I let on. It's just that I like a certain story. I like a noir kind of story that's more realistic, and even the good guys are bad because nobody's perfect. And I like that framing of the world, and the characters that I portray are either good or bad, but in any way they're flawed. And earlier I was talking about the combat of professional wrestling and how I love that, but the entertainment aspect's really important to me too. I'm a guy who grew up watching probably some of the best character wrestlers do their stuff, but then they were really good wrestlers, so you had this extra layer of these guys who could perform really well, but then they were a persona. They weren't just a mechanic in the ring. Bret Hart, for all of that he is, and he is amazing to watch, but he's Bret Hart, and that's it. His life story is not that complicated. He's the Prince of Canada. That's essentially it. Shit, they made Harley Race a king, for fuck's sake. They tried their best to sauce up Harley Race. Probably one of the best wrestlers of all time. Make him a king.
What else?
Even that adds a layer of like, he's a great wrestler. Why does he wear a fucking crown? What's happening?
Well, you couldn't.
But
Subtext was
I
hard
love
back
that. I
then.
love the entertainment aspect. Right. But yeah, the entertainment aspect of professional wrestling is super important. I think that for wrestlers to be actors as well as athletes is really important. I don't think, I mean, the nuts and bolts of being a professional wrestler or professional athlete is it's really boring. What do you do? Train, eat, travel. It's really boring. But if you can be somebody else that's more interesting, I think you should always be that, because people like something different. And for me personally, I don't want to know the athlete, because I know I get that part. Like I get it. It's what do you think of the world as a professional wrestler? Like that's the extra layer, is how do you perceive what's happening right now in the world through the lens of a character? And that's what I'm trying to do when I do anything, is how do I interpret the world as it exists currently through this form of combat. It's a story that I can tell of where everything is in a social construct of the world inside of a wrestling ring. There's always something more. How can you tell a story? It's more than just, I want this belt. It's bigger than that, or it should be, or else what's the point? At least in my opinion, there's so much more going on that you can comment on. And Robert Baines is such a commentary on the selfishness that exists currently, and the distrust that people have for one another, and the weird blind paranoia that's taking place. And I fucking thought of this shit like 2, 3 years ago. And it to see it truly blossom now in the age of an invisible terror is really upsetting. It's very upsetting to me. But to have your finger on the pulse can be a fantastic and a terrible thing all at the same time.
Man, I know you had mentioned that on Facebook, and
Yeah.
it It's unfortunate to
Because
acknowledge
it
that.
just sort of blossomed.
Yeah.
What do you like? What am I supposed to do? I'm sitting at home and I want to create content with Baines. I want to make his voice heard, but I cannot, in good conscience, say what he would say for the sheer reality that things have happened that I didn't foresee. I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't know any of this crap was going to happen. And real people are hurt. So it seems to me to be kind of something cheap to just do the same thing you were doing before. But that being said, after I posted that on Facebook, which was originally going to be on Twitter, but it ended up becoming this whole thing. I needed the catharsis of getting it off of my chest and getting it out of my system so that I could now move past it. Because it was in my head. So now I have to get it out of the world. And once it's out of me, I can actually focus on how to move past it. And now I have kind of a plan, and I hope to create some content with that character in the next week. I hope. But it's all in the phrasing. It's all in how do you be the thing that you've been for so long without it seeming like you're taking a cheap shot at people who are actually in pain. Such a challenge. It's a challenge to be a bad guy when you're just you. You're the only one writing your stuff. I'm the only one writing this stuff. And to be both a solo writer and performer is really, it can be challenging sometimes. And this is probably the most challenging it's ever been for me, as far as just straight concept creation. Like, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to execute when I have this massive roadblock of reality? I don't know. It's tough. I'm dealing
Man,
with it still.
I mean, it's any time being a bad guy, whether I could imagine playing or writing or however, trying to get into the headspace of people like this, there you want it to be authentic or else it's cartoony. But you don't want to fall too deep into the authentic, or like there's so much that comes to and from, and especially with a guy like Baines, right now there, I definitely agree with you. There's a lot of stuff that you could do that would just seem cheap, but something that can properly represent the character while not taking away a piece of your soul. If that's at it, especially because of I would say right now it's even more of a we're being raided. Thanks for the raid, Ziv. We're talking about the complexities of human expression of evil characters. Glad to have everybody here.
Hooray!
Hooray.
It's happened. Life and art.
But it's one of those things where with all of the stuff that's happening right now, there's a lot of people that can be lambasted and that can you'd need to knock a bunch of people down a peg that are just there're just so many stupid people out there, and
There's too many villains. There's too many villains in this story. How do you be a villain when you're trying to be a villain and not just blend into all of the villainous figures that we're currently surrounded by? How do you be a bad guy in a land full of bad guys?
Go to another country. One of my least favorite tropes,
California's
I
best way.
mean, close enough. One of my least favorite tropes is a the big bad guy foreigner, and especially in professional wrestling. And there's a Vampire Weekend says, seems like you have to be a lot worse than the standard of the bad guys around you, which I can definitely see. Yeah. But more recently, excuse me, on NXT UK, a couple of months ago, there was a couple of weeks where there were characters, there were bad guy American characters that were getting over really, really, really well. And I was like, yes, we're finally doing the really? Bad guy foreign invader, but it's us. Like that character, especially right now, I think plugs even more into the zeitgeist than another bad guy from Central Europe. Just like whatever. There's a lot, man.
Yeah. The rest of the world does not look so kindly on the world police kind of moniker that the United States has picked up. They don't want other people from other countries coming in and fixing their problems. They don't want a foreign hero. They want a domestic hero. I mean, the idea of a foreign bad guy still does exist, but it's us, and it's in the context of, we're the good guy. Trust us. Everything we're doing is to help you. We don't want it. We're here for you. We're here for your best interest. No, please leave. No. Let us just kill your top head of state, and everything will be fine. No, the vacuum's going to be terrible. Oh, sorry you said that. He's just dead. We just killed him.
We just finished the job. Bye, everybody. But no, as if this if the strategy of setting up a lot of different places around the world ends up becoming a thing, then we can finally get so like we're going to be pumping so many like bad guy American characters around the world. Well, it was the wrestling historian. There was a feud that was happening that there was a bit that happened in Japan. There was a bit that happened in America, and the whoever the foreign athlete was in that country was the bad guy, but they just worked the same match. Who was it?
I think I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember who that was.
It was definitely with the NWA, to the people that have just invaded with Zvader, first of all, thank you for coming. You came in at a very ridiculous part. I was playing Animal Crossing Pocket Camp just a little ago, but this is one of my best friends in the world. This is Brandon Taylor. He's a professional wrestler and an artist. And
hello.
So if you are interested in gaming content, I would urge you to follow. Let's just say that this time has hit me hard as well. And can appreciate all of the support that I can get while I'm doing it. We're going to be doing a lot of tests, and I'll be coming back with like an actual scheduled set of content soon because I'm moving next week, and I'm not going to set up a brand new Twitch schedule until I'm moved into my new apartment. So we're going to be doing a lot of testing within these next couple of days. I would highly appreciate Ziv is somebody that I've known for a very long time. And is a mod. I don't know if she knows that she's a mod, but she is a mod. And but if you trust her, trust me, come along on this journey with me. I spent 4 hours streaming Minecraft the other day. So wholesome content that you could show your grandmother. But let's go back talking about how America is an evil superpower. But
I can't wait for the day that WWE has set up performance centers in a whole bunch of other companies, and then indie promotions will have the bad guy WWE come in and try and fix all of the problems. No, we're going to bring this company in to be a part of WWE. Boo! No! We don't want to be a part of WWE! That's a very real thing that's going to happen.
I mean, look at the UK independent scene. Anyway, moving on.
You can say no comment.
I could.
Silence speaks volumes.
Yeah, it does. TV. What do you think about this? The sort of change that the entertainment world is going into of the absence of movie theaters and the absence of just the gathering places. So now we've had the digital release, the early digital release of Birds of Prey, Sonic the Hedgehog, Onward, like all of these big films that were going to be tent poles to like all of these different companies. But yet here we are in the situation where Trolls was going to be probably going to sit in a theater for 2-3 months and just get kids when they can. Let's go see Trolls again. And now it's, all right, well, we rented it once because it was $20 to rent. They're losing money because they're not getting an individual ticket. They're losing, like, movie theaters, they're going to start, like, getting rid of, like, indie theaters are probably going to come back because these companies are going to be starting to try to liquidate all of these assets, and we're just going to have ghost towns.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. We're going to be, hello. We're going to be having ghost towns of all of these different theaters, all of these different entertainment types. Arcades were just kind of starting to come back, and now they're gonna be vanishing all over again. What is your take on that, if you have one?
It's the problem is the entertainment will always be there, but the people who make money at the very base level, those employees of the movie theaters, all of the sort of nuts and bolts mechanics of it, all of those are losing money. There's a fear of automation in this country, and rightfully so, where everybody can be replaced by a machine. And in very, very short order, that just happened for all of the people in the movie industry who are not in the movie industry. So you're looking at all of the people who work in movie theaters and entertainment, just to bring the service aspect of the entertainment industry is now next to gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the problem now becomes the way that the money travels. Now more of it is going straight to the top. If you can cut out all of the other stuff about movies, the movie theater itself, the movie makes whatever it makes, but the place and the people make money off of concessions. So now you have all this money traveling to one place, which is the studio, bypassing all of the other outlets that would normally get a piece of that same money. And I think that's the real problem. I'm not worried about the entertainment industry, not even remotely.
No.
It's the service industry that I'm really worried about. It's all of those people who aren't making anything at all. And now that I personally have received the money that the government, the subsidy, the $1,200. I got mine. But that doesn't change anything. So I believe that perhaps that was the first test in universal basic income, because there's no way to fix this problem overnight other than to just give money to the people and to more evenly distribute the money in this country. I think there's too much wealth concentration at the top, and those people need to be, I don't want to say forced, but definitely put in a position where trickle-down economics is made to be a thing. It's not a thing. It's a fine idea, but it doesn't actually work.
Yeah.
Those with money keep their money, and it doesn't go anywhere. So the government should serve as a fulcrum by which you get the money away from the people who have it and into the hands of the people who actually made it, because it's all of these essential workers who make the least amount of money, and they get the least amount of pay for their efforts, which nothing would exist if it weren't for them. It is the people who are on the bottom rung that actually are most essential to creation. And those people deserve to be compensated. Those people deserve a living wage.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to happen. So I'm not worried about entertainment. Entertainment's always going to be there.
Sure.
The way you make it, the way you distribute it is always going to change. But it doesn't – just because people are sitting at home not making money is actually the worst part of this.
Agreed. There's a – you know, first of all, eat the rich. Second of all, there's a coming from the gig economy, like before moving out to Orlando, I was heavily entrenched in the gig economy. And once jobs started to dry up, that was it. I was out of work. I was applying to as many places as I could and just kind of out of luck. I got very lucky in what my next step was. And so like the gig economy is going to take a hit because the folks near the top of entertainment companies are going to be like, well, we can always find somebody because people are desperate and will work for any amount of wage just to make money. So there's a lot that should change. Who knows if it will. Really quickly, I want to acknowledge some of these comments here. Zavader says, is the general manager of an independent movie theater. I have no idea how long I'll be furloughed or what the business will look like when we open back up. It's going to be interesting. Yeah. But we've got Heel Maggle saying, just so happens they changed the law preventing big guys like Disney and other film studios from owning theaters. So the little guys are going to die out and Disney is going to turn the theaters into mini theme parks based on whatever movie they're showing. They tried that before?
That is a dystopian nightmare I didn't even know I had until just now.
They tried back in the 90s with the popularity of like Chuck E. Cheese's. They tried to do regional entertainment. They started a part of the company called Disney Regional Entertainment, which was to make these like Planet Hollywood, Marvel Mania, which was one that I went to, all of these big family things, and they died out very, very quickly because Defunct Land has an amazing video on it. Highly recommend checking out Defunct Land. It was called what was it called? Disney Quest. Club Disney? I think that's what it was called. It was called Club Disney. But then they also tried Disney Quest. Well, dude, so funny enough, the first location was in Thousand Oaks. And I think it got turned into a Chuck E. Cheese after it went out of business because there was I remember there was some Chuck E. Cheese's were big, but even like post like toppy tippers of like Discovery Zone and Chuck E. Cheese, there were two that were unnecessarily close to each other.
Discovery Zone
ruled. But now imagine that with Disney.
Yeah.
So the idea that they would buy these things and turn them into mini theme parks, they've tried that.
I think the idea that they're actually that they just mentioned is theaters that exist only to show the movies of the studios that own them. Much like what they stopped during Prohibition with breweries owning bars. Mm-hmm. Breweries can't own bars in this country. Or any distillery cannot own a bar, technically. There's tasting rooms. Those are totally different. But no place that makes alcohol can own a bar. So there are perks, yada, yada, yada. But that's how entertainment has worked. Mm-hmm. As far as films to the public, there have been theaters that get perks from the studios, yada, 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 but none of them are directly owned by a singular entity. But
yeah.
Jesus Christ, if that were to change, that would fuck everything.
So there's all of the money that Disney has been losing for having the parks closed as long as they have been. They're going to need to figure out a way to recoup that. I can't imagine them taking a jump to buy movie theaters. Like they could. It's probable. But I think if they would do it, they would probably have one in like Burbank just because it's close to the studio.
Well, we have
we have literally three.
And they're scaling. Andrea's saying from the side, they've been scaling back so much. And after the Fox deal went through, they're trying to recoup so much. Mm. So right now, probably not, especially with how much money they lose on a daily basis for having all of the theme park resorts closed. But eventually, maybe like. I'm sure a lot of the local news.
That's bad.
A lot of the local news that we've been seeing has been the mayor of Orange County, who is good man, and I mean that, and I'm not saying that ironically, is looking to Disney because they have experience in handling the stuff over there in the Asian parks of what the sort of scope is like around the world. So they're like, hey, we want to try to start reopening stuff if it's safe enough, but we want your expertise in being over in these parts of the world to let us know what the right steps would be. And I think it'll be a great idea. I miss anything outside of these four walls of my apartment, and I think a lot of people will agree, but only when it's safe. When it's safe to do, if it's safe to do, and we agree with those, and like we personally agree with those safety standards, yeah, we're all about
it. Right. Yeah, things are going to change. Obviously, I work for multiple companies that rely heavily on ticket sales. I mean, the bulk of the money to be made is through ticket sales. And when things are closed, there's considerably less income that's coming in.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to figure out what the next step is, how long this can last. The one thing I'm sure about is that the big guys are not, they're not in a bad way. They're not going out of business. If anybody says that, they're lying. The big guys are fine. It's the little guys that are going to disappear. They're going to absolutely, all of their competition is going to die. And that creates a bad world. It creates a world where monopoly is the norm, and that should not ever be the case. Monopoly is the death of a creative outlet is not the way anything should be made. The free market system, as they like to call it, it has a lot of flaws, but for everyone to be able to create under their own banner and not as the subsidiary of a larger entity is the only way that you can actually truly create something new and different.
Yeah. Man, this was not necessarily where I thought this conversation was going to go, but it was it's still wonderful yeah. to talk to you. I'm going to check back in with you, but I'm going to end the stream there. I appreciate everybody who's come out. We're going to keep testing some more stuff. Brandon, if you want to plug anything, this is the place and the time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Please, patreon.com/sandwichchamp is where you can get a lot of new content from me, and I've got a lot of fun levels, and I'm always trying to do stuff that's different, and trying to keep people engaged with what's going on in my life, and usually it's a lot more interesting than it has been the last few weeks, and my wife has a large part in that too. We just actually uploaded a video of us doing the koala challenge, and
is that what that was?
That's what it was trying to be. Yeah. So I put the first minute online, but the full 3 minute edit is up on Patreon right now.
I was like, is he trying to teach her a sunset flip? Like, what the hell is going on?
Yes, that's the koala challenge. Apparently a bunch of people have done it, and it's a lot of fun. It's just really hard if you're not an athlete. Actually, we used to do stuff like this in wrestling training, and even with Drew Gulak, as a matter of fact, we used to do stuff like that where you do it around the world, and you do like a koala and stuff like that. But doing it with a lay person who is not an athlete is way harder than it sounds. No offense. Honey, you. So yeah, there's that, and youtube.com/soapboxcarTV is still where you can find all of my matches and new uploads and stuff like that. And it's been a bit of a challenge to get high quality matches to put onto that, but a lot of the stuff still holds up, and I'm throwing more and more up on there as this goes on. So please keep
I didn't know they allowed throw up videos on YouTube.
Yeah, who knows what's coming up next.
I didn't know.
What was that?
I didn't know that they allowed throw up videos on YouTube. That sounds pretty disgusting.
Oh, anything to make a buck.
Oh, that's
to make
fair.
A buck. You know, They don't like cursing, but if you throw bodily fluids at somebody, I don't think they're going to complain about that.
Disgusting. Well, thank you,
They
Brandon.
truly don't care. They don't care.
Thank you,
Business
Hobo.
practices are disgusting.
I really appreciate you coming through
Thank
and
you.
helping me test this out. We text every day anyway, but it was
Yeah.
nice to see you and hear your voice and talk to you. I love you
That's
and
true.
stay safe.
Yeah, you too.
Cheers, man.